I mean,
hey, I think we're live.
Oh, welcome to Hammer Down. We're live. Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the PMI offices.
Yep.
Did you just break that chair?
Yeah, I think so. A little bit heavier. Paisan, I heard you talking a little bit of shit on me there before
no,
we went
no,
live.
No, I was worried about you. I saw you taking some blows over there, and I'm like, man, my man needs some security or something. Like, what the hell is going on here? Like seriously.
It was a fun night, boss. Sorry about that, dude.
Good shirt. No. Good shirt today,
anyway,
Mike.
Where were you?
That was on NXT every Wednesday night, USA Network. I'm not 100% sure if I'll be on next week or not, but yeah, dude, I'm enjoying the hell out of that. I got my shoes all scuffed. I don't know if you saw that in the
Yeezys.
The Yeezys got all dirty, which I'm upset about. But I did get my ass kicked there for a relatively quick second. Did you see how it ended though? One of my guys put the guy that beat me up his head inside the door and then kicked the door shut on his face. It was wild night, Paisan.
Oh man, that was intense. Where do you film that? Where's that taking place?
That's down in Orlando. So I hop on so I have to get COVID tested, right? So I get COVID tested on Sunday and Monday. Then I get my results back Tuesday and Wednesday. Both come back negative. Hop on plane immediately after show, fly to Orlando, do the whole thing, and then fly back. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Hey. It is awesome just being able to just talk shit. It is so much fun. It is a blast, Paisan. I mean, I absolutely love it. I assume you would enjoy that type of style thing, too.
I love worldwide wrestling when I was growing up. It was a lot different. You know, we had Andre the Giant, Bruno Sammartino. It was a lot different
Pittsburgh
sport than it was. Vince McMahon's dad ran it. But, I mean, it's fun. I still like watching it.
Yeah, well, I'm happy you enjoyed me getting my ass kicked. Speaking of getting my ass kicked, Diggs, this past weekend it happened.
It happened. We finally lost. Not you, Michael. You didn't lose, but the rest of us. Did you lose, Gumpy?
3-4, yeah.
Yeah, we lost. Monday night didn't help. I think, you know, we started chasing on Monday night.
Yeah,
Lombardi, great call on that being a live bet. If you live bet the Bucs money line when they were down, that was a good call there.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I was worried about that, especially, you know, Pat Graham knows Tom pretty well, knows what he likes to throw and what he doesn't like to throw. And, you know, and Danny Dimes kind of came through at the end. But, you know, like we were talking about on the group chat, like what ended up happening, those 3 points at the end of the half literally came back to bite the Giants right in the ass. And nobody said a word about it. Nobody said it. The 3 points they scored at the end of the half because the Giants refused to run the clock out at the first half because, you know, you got to play up-tempo. Like, that was really going to matter. Horrible.
Game management has been something that, you know, I don't want to say that I am a super football IQ person, but being around football in special teams is normally what gets affected by game management, whether it's a bad timeout or it's a keep somebody stays in bounds or goes out of bounds. And special teams is normally affected by it. So I've always paid close attention to it because it was my profession for a long time. But now that I'm watching as a fan, you see some decisions that are made and you're like, How the fuck is that guy getting paid that much money to manage this game and he's making that decision? But I guess in the moment, you kind of get caught up in all of it.
You know, but it would be like saying that a chess player gets caught up in the moment and he can't make the right moves in a tournament. Like, that you can't have that happen.
Especially,
but you gotta keep your head clear. Like, you can't, like, if you're Joe Judge, you're on the headset looking at that clock saying, you know, you've watched, you have three Super Bowl rings on your finger from Brady doing magic at the end of 2 minutes. And don't you say to Jason, look, I know it's really good to run that damn 2 minute, but we cut it out. We don't need it here.
I completely forgot. Oh, and I was going to say, we always talk about those coaches making decisions because they're too involved in their play sheet at the time. He is not. Like, he is not calling plays.
Yeah.
And Pat always talks about how he thinks special teams coaches are potentially best at clock management because they're used to it all the time. And that was not the case in that situation. What the Giants defense did to Tom, is that something that can be replicated by other teams?
I think the thing with Tom is like when you have a really good pass rush, like the Saints to this weekend, right? So the Saints rush relies on the kids going from outside. You know, they rush around those tackles and they come in. Hendrickson and the kid, the big kid from Texas Arlington and all those guys and Cam Jordan or Jordan Cam, I get them confused. You know, really bothers Tom more than those edge guys really don't bother him. It's when the pocket gets pushed inside And that's what New York was doing. They were pushing that pocket inside because they don't have great pass rushers.
Hey.
So he was kind of getting moved a little bit, just a little bit, not a lot. And it bothered him.
And they were able to do that without bringing anybody extra. So they're able to drop people into coverage. And I think that's any quarterback is probably going to get fucked in that particular fashion. But if that is a potential weakness of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think the internet's telling me that AQ Shipley's potentially playing this weekend with one of the offensive linemen being down or in concussion protocol. Let's assume he potentially goes to center. Jensen probably moves to guard because Jensen will be able to move or something. He has not told me this. This is just me reading tweets about Tampa. I will let you know, our round mount of man in there, he's stopped. Tom's going to be able to step up in that damn pocket if he has to. You're not in the NFL in the middle of the offensive line at center for 12 years if you just are a turnstile or whatever. I think this could potentially be good for the Bucs here with old AQ potentially getting in there and stopping because you get Tom out of the pocket. And then you drop everybody into coverage. That's an easy way to kind of screw them over.
You know, and I think if the way that the Saints coverage units really didn't cover, I mean, look, the Bears scored 10 points in the last 5 minutes of that game. I mean, Tom will carve them up if he gets time. Tom will carve them up if he gets time. That'll be a hard game for them to cover those receivers, especially watch Antonio Brown back. Antonio Brown will be electrifying. He will make a difference in this game. I really believe that because Tom just trusts him so much.
Tom Brady, after he's lost to a divisional opponent the same year, he's 7-0 straight up and against the spread.
Oh, okay. I learned about you, he says.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, he's got a pretty good feel for it. Plus, they're a way different team, and I'm not sure the Saints are the same team. Plus, Todd Bowles now knows that Breeze won't throw the ball down the field. So I think he has a better handle on it. I really do. I think he'll be able to really make sure that – and these corners are playing pretty good. Now, I don't know if Michael Thomas is going to play. That's always an interesting – but that game, it's funny, though. That game, you'll guys see it. I had it come out as 5-5, as a 5.1. The line's 5.5. I mean, it's right there. It's right there where I thought it would be.
And you know that there's no chance the Saints are going to be able to run against the Bucs. They shouldn't be able to, is what I should say. The Saints should not be able to run against the Bucs. I think Kamara had like 1 yard of carry in their first matchup. So we'll start there this weekend with that game. Sounds like you're leaning, if you had to make a pick, to the Bucs then.
I mean, I think it's hard to beat teams twice. I think that bounce back effect, I think you get used to it. I think it's hard for the Saints. Look, they play $5 blackjack. I mean, how many times can you check it down to Kamara and keep drives alive? You know, it's really remarkable how great of a coach Sean Payton is offensively, the way they're able to just keep calling plays and having Breeze check it. He's thrown 6 passes over 20 yards.
It's really interesting that they can continue to get defenses to be fooled to drop off of the shorter routes. Like, they do a lot of misdirection, obviously, to get, like, throws out to the side or a little check down somewhere, and that's all by design. Do you think Todd Bowles, who is a pressure defensive coordinator, do you think that kind of hurts it? Because obviously opening week, the defense was nothing that it – now, granted, they didn't do great against the Giants either. It wasn't like they were just – I mean, got a pick or two. I mean, they you get it. But is Todd Bowles' defense at this point of the season, do you think they'll be able to figure out that, oh, the Saints, this is what they do basically. They do this and they do this without getting – because you can't get fooled because they're going to check down. But if you don't honor it, there's a chance they take a shot. It's kind of like a balancing act almost for defense.
Yeah, you got to tackle really well. I mean, that's the hardest thing to do. Is it's easy for me to sit here in my office and say, Breeze doesn't throw the ball down the field. But then he throws it to Kamara, and nobody tackles the son of a gun. And he makes 5 people miss it. And next thing you know, he's off to the race. So, I mean, it'll be a hard game. I think it's hard to beat a team twice, especially a good coordinator twice. Plus, they played each other so much. I mean, remember the game last year? I think Jameis threw 4 interceptions, and the Bucs still had a chance to win it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard for them to play down in Tampa. I think it's hard. I think that's a hard game.
Yeah, Bucs have the best point differential since that Week 1 matchup in the NFL at plus 93, Mike.
There we go.
Wow. The Bucs are good. The Bucs are good. I mean, you're going to have games when you're good. You're going to have games like that where you should beat a team, but you didn't really blow them out. I mean, plus the Giants are ready to play. Everybody's on the Giants because of the way they played last week. Are they going to be able to carry that over into Washington? That's always the remaining to be seen.
And then the part of the surprising part of that game, I'm surprised that the public is on the Saints. The public is 56% of the tickets and 71% of the money is on the Saints there, which kind of surprised me. And the line opened at 4.5 and then moved actually down to 4. So that's a little surprising to me as well for that game.
You have it at 4 now?
Yeah.
Oof. Sign me up. Sign me up.
Hey, that's the thing, though, about this show is the early bets. Like, I'll wake up or I'll go to bed on Sunday night and I'll look at my settled bet slips. Mm-hmm. And it'll be bets that I put in on, like, after the show on Monday or on Thursday that I didn't even recall putting in. It's like, oh, I forgot we're in the middle of a conversation and somebody said something. I'm like, oh, fuck, got to put it in right now. That's the advantage of getting a potential early line.
Correct.
You know?
Perfect example is tonight. You could add the Packers at, what, -2.5 it opened up?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have.
That's the interesting one, because when you go back and look at the last three times these two teams have played, do you remember the game in Green Bay when I think it was C.J. Beathard played quarterback? And, you know, that was a three-point Green Bay win. Remember, San Francisco moved the ball up and down the field. I think it was 33-30 in that game. I mean, San Francisco has played the Packers in the last 3 years really well. They've averaged over 6 yards a carry in those three games. They're 2-1. They've lost by three. They've dominated. I think they've outscored them 74-28 in the last two games. I mean, you know, I know San Francisco's missing a lot of people, and I know it's easy to say the Packers are going to rout. I mean, the Packers have struggled defending the run the last three times they've played them, and over the last 25 games, the Packers have allowed 4.8 yards per rush on first down, 5.1 yards to the left, 4.7 to the right. They don't stop the run against anyone.
So it doesn't matter almost who's in there for Niners.
I was going to ask, is there a more plug-and-play offense in the NFL than Kyle Shanahan's offense?
No, because like JaMychal Hasty, nobody knows who he is. He's this kid from Baylor who's a good little running back from Baylor. He fumbled last week, but he will run hard. He'll run hard. They know how to attack him. They're going to take what Minnesota did last week. Minnesota lined up in the old, you know, we're going to flex the tight end out. So we want to see what you do with your box, right? So Minnesota flexes the tight end out. You got and two backs in the backfield. So if you lighten that box up, you've got lead plays that you can run, which they ran. And instead of running their zone, they ran gap plays, and Cook just killed them.
Green
Bay never has an answer to stop the run over 25 games. This isn't like this is just against the Niners. This is against everybody.
Hey, you know, can you not adapt to that? Like, can't Mike Pettine say, like, hey, listen, if a tight end comes into formation, he goes out. Even if we're a man, we'll pass that off to the corner. We'll take the one instead of moving your linebacker who normally covers them out of the box, because then Kyle Shanahan's taking advantage of you, trying to take advantage of all their wide receivers being out, and he's just making you look like an absolute fool the way he's setting the whole thing up. And did the Minnesota Vikings do exactly what the Niners did in the NFC Championship game? You said this is 25 games, but those two seem to have had the most success here in recent history of just blowing the doors off of the Green Bay Packers defense.
They did it, but they did it in different. They did the same thing. They just did it different ways. Here's when you play Kyle, and when you play Mike Shanahan, or you play Kyle, or you play Gary, what you're going to get in the first quarter is the formations. You're going to get what they want to run the ball out of, but the personnel groupings and the formation. And then once you get that, you got to figure out how he wants to attack you in that. And then you've got to make sure you've got your adjustments handled. Because they're not going to, like, they're not showing you that in the first quarter and then changing something up. That's what you're going to get. It's usually with Mike, especially, you got two formations. You might have the tight end out away from the slot in 11 or 12 personnel. Whatever it was, whatever he thought he could really mess with your run force in. And this is what it's all about. He's trying to mess with your run force. And once he figured out how you don't handle the run force out of that, he's got you by the ass. And so that's what you'll see tonight. Kyle will have a formation or two, three, that he's going to come out and check the run force. How's the run force? He adjusts to it and sees what Pettine does.
Kyle Shanahan could polish a turd at this point.
It does feel like that.
He's really good. I mean, but he was good everywhere he's been. And he's good at, you know, Joe Gibbs is one of the greatest coaches of all time, because Joe Gibbs took Mark Rippon, he took Doug Williams, and he took Stan Humphries to Super Bowls, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's right. Or yeah. Joe thought, I mean, whatever it was, he took three different quarterbacks to him. And that's a little bit like Kyle. Like, everybody's saying Jimmy won't be there next year. He probably won't. He'll just put somebody else. Like, Nick Mullen isn't a great – if Nick Mullen went somewhere else, he wouldn't be near as good as he is for Kyle.
Didn't he also do like a 22 slide spread to get the hell out of Cleveland? That's savage. That's awesome.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, I was there when we hired him. So No one wanted to hire Kyle in the league after Washington. His father called me on the phone. Mike and I have always had a good relationship. And his dad's like, you need to hire Kyle. So we brought him in, and Pettine really didn't have anybody as the OC. We brought him in, and I can remember saying to Ray Farmer, we should have hired him as the head coach. He was that impressive in the interview. He was better than anybody other than Josh McDaniels that we interviewed that whole period. And I got fired 2 weeks later, and then Kyle stayed. He didn't get along with Ray Farmer, really, and just wanted out of there so bad because of the organization. You remember the Ray Farmer thing where Ray was like, got suspended because he was trying to call plays, get involved with the offense, all that stuff. Kyle took a real distaste to it. So Kyle, to me, is one of the best young offensive coaches in the game, and he's going to keep going. His dad, he combines the things he learned from his dad plus his own creativity.
So Kyle, I completely forgot that. So Kyle coached under Pettine, so he knows Pettine's defense very, very well.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
He knows it in and out, and so he knows where the run force comes from. See, that's the whole thing.
What is
about
the run? Is the run force? Explain.
These guys like Kellen Moore, they don't understand how to set the run force up.
What the fuck is a run force? Will you explain what a run force is?
So So if you're in an 8-man front or you're in a 7-man front, right? So there's got to be somebody forcing the run back to where the people are.
Okay.
There's got to be somewhere where you want the run, where there's the secondaries, either you're playing cover six, which is a weak side zone, you know, and that safety who's coming down away from the strength, he's got to force the run, and then everybody fits off of him. Mm-hmm. Or if you're playing cover three and then it's the strong side, that everybody fits off, that he's the run force player. And everybody has to fit off of him. Is he wrong arming it? Is he taking it on straight? Is he bouncing it? How's he handling the run force? You got to know all that. So then you set your defense accordingly. When what happens to Pettine is, Pettine's defense is a one gap scheme that gets gaps distorted, because if I'm in the A gap and Pat's in the B gap, and Pat's 2 yards past the B gap, and I'm 1 yard away from the B gap, there's this huge hole in between, even though we're in an 8-man front. It's what I wrote about in the book. It's just what they say on television tonight. Troy will say it tonight. Well, they're in an 8-man front. That'll handle the run. Yeah, it handles the run. The problem is when the gaps aren't with gap integrity, A, that gets screwed up. And then B, when you have a quarterback who fakes a bootleg or fakes a naked, that takes away from the 8-man front because somebody's got to take the quarterback. So now you're really in a 7-man front.
So you worked with Pat and Mike. Can he not fucking adjust? What's his deal?
He's a product of Rex, right? He knows Rex's his double eagle look. So that's his whole specialty, was Rex's stuff. And what happens is, because he can't stop the run, Rex's whole thing, when you played Rex Ryan, what drove him crazy was not being able to stop the run. Rex, all these great defenses always rely on run defense to make you one-dimensional. That's what they really want to do. They want to be able to stop the run completely and then make you one-dimensional. And they haven't been able to do it up there. And Mike's a little bit of a schemer. He's got so much stuff. You remember, he's curly in the boat, I call it. You know, curly drills one hole to let, you know, the water comes in, and then he drills another one to let the water out. There's always something going on. And when he plays against good coaches, they figure it out. But here's his advantage, the guy you have on the show every Tuesday. Because Rodgers gets a lead for him, and so people can't really run the ball on him, and people don't exploit it.
Hmm. Hey, that's every time we do this show, I just feel so much smarter. You're the best, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But that's where complimentary football takes over, right? So if you know you can't, like tonight, if I'm Matt LaFleur, like I'm talking to the team about, man, we got to get up. We got to go fast. We got to go 14. Hey, if it's fourth and one, we may go for it. We need to make this team play from behind. We got to make them play from behind. Why? Because that forces Kyle Shanahan to a drop back pass game. He don't have one. As great as Kyle is, he don't have a drop back pass game. It's all play action. So if I get the lead on Kyle, he's not going to come back. Like, that's going to be an issue. So it's all about how to set up the game, how to game manage the game from the start.
Hey,
the last game he started, Mullins, he did get pulled against the Eagles, though.
Oh, right.
He looked good coming back against the Seahawks last week, but
he'll play good tonight, because you know why? Every route, every play they have in, Kyle knows can beat Pettine's stuff.
Jesus.
That has to feel pretty good, Gilman. You know what I mean? That has to feel pretty good.
They'll move the ball. Now, will they win? I don't know if they'll win. But I'm going to take the six of it. If they want to give me seven, I'll take it tonight.
Yeah, I was also going to say this because morning I
put a bet in.
This morning I saw it at 7.5 at most books, 7 at FanDuel, and then it dropped to 6.5 at FanDuel and 7 at all other books, even though 84% of the money is on Green Bay.
Right. Well, I think that's more about that. I think when we're in that 6.5-7 area, I think the sharp players want to make sure that if they're going to take if they're going to take Green Bay, they get the 6.5. If it's 7 or above, they're taking San Francisco. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's that hook. They're playing that hook.
All right, we'll make our picks in 10 minutes here. Before we do that, let's get to some other games this weekend. Ravens at Colts. The line is 1.5. Colts are +1.5. Home puppies. My question is, is Phil Rivers going to be able to do anything against the Ravens defense? Or is he going to panic?
Who's playing?
They're all going to play.
You think so?
They're all going to play. They're all going to test negative. They're all going to play. Happens all the time. Happened last week, the Raiders. Happened with the Giants last week in their own line.
Saban beat it in what, 12 hours?
Saban being their old day. And then on the other side is the Colts defense built to stop the Ravens rush game.
Well, I think, you know, when you go back and watch that Pittsburgh game, I mean, they played Pittsburgh. They're 4th-and-2 from having a chance to win that game. They played as bad as you can play, and they took Pittsburgh and had a chance to win numerous times in the game. I think the biggest issue for Phillip Rivers is he going to play fast? You know, he's played good against the teams. Cincinnati he played, which doesn't really affect him. Cleveland, he didn't. Cincinnati, he did. And Detroit, which we thought Detroit was a good match because Detroit's slow on defense. This ain't a slow defense. This is a fast defense. Now, if I'm worried about Humphrey not playing, I'm worried about Peters. Is he healthy for the game? Those are the two things. I think Lamar will play good against them because I think the dilemma you have, if you go small against Baltimore, you know, or you go to a nickel front like Pittsburgh did last week. Mm-hmm. They gave up a ton of yards in their nickel against the run. You know, it's like when people run the ball on you, don't say, this is what I wish TV people would do. Don't tell me they're running the ball. Tell me how they're running the ball, right? So if they're in 11 personnel and Pittsburgh's playing nickel, then your nickel run, like Baltimore's nickel run defense, gives up over 4.6 yards a carry.
Oh.
So – but Baltimore, if you line up in two tight, if you line up in two backs, Baltimore will give you about 3-7. So that's what we have to understand. So this game's going to be a nickel run game, and Baltimore has struggled to handle some nickel runs, those read option, those run, and they did last week against Pittsburgh as well. So
how do you, you know, watch?
For me, I want to take the Colts.
How do you watch? Excuse me.
I'm scared of Rivers and playing fast and turning the ball over.
How do you do you? So you have – who does your film breakdown? Like, who gives you your folders? Like, okay, here's when they're in nickel defense. Here's third and long. Here's this. Because I know that's how it is in NFL facilities. That's like the video person's job is like, okay, we're cut them.
Well, yeah, that's on tape. So, I mean, I don't have that component, right? So when I'm watching the tape, like I learned this from Walsh. Walsh taught me – this is the first thing he taught me watching tape. You look at the front. You look at the front. You tell me what the front is. It's either under front, over front, double eagle front, whatever it is. You say the front, you basically figure out where the run force is coming from. You say that in your head, and then you watch what they're trying to run. So when I'm watching the Pittsburgh play Baltimore, Baltimore's in regular personnel, and I need to know that Pittsburgh's in their dime because they had two techniques, the two outside linebackers, the two linebackers. They're in their dime. Their run force was messing around with them, trying to figure out which way he was going. So then I just figure out, okay, we can run the ball. And then you can go on like NFL GSIS, that's a SAP program, and you can break down all the runs that you see against personnel groups. Like, okay, the Ravens give up this many. Like Baltimore, I mean, excuse me, Pittsburgh gives up like 2.8 yards a rush if you're in two backs. I'll give you a perfect example of this game. Like Atlanta playing Denver. Atlanta's one of the worst pass defenses on first down in the National Football League. Denver refuses to throw the ball on first down. They run it almost all the time. So whatever advantage you think you can get on first down against Atlanta, Denver's going to give it back to you. So that's the game in the game. You got to play that in your head.
Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome to be able to just break that down? Because, by the way, it takes you a lot of time to calculate and gather all this information, a lot more time than I would be able to spend on doing it. So I really appreciate your...
Yeah, I mean, I have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Like, I just finished today the Baltimore game. I watched it again, but I got time to watch it. Now, when I was in the league, I could watch it. I had a lot more time because I would work later. But it really, when you look at the numbers, you got to see the numbers, right? Like, third down efficiency doesn't really mean as much if you don't break down what it does. Running the ball doesn't mean as much if you don't break down what it does. You know, so you got to really kind of get into the – you got to peel the layers. That's what drives me crazy when I watch games. Like tonight, they won't tell us – you know, I see it, but they don't tell the average fan sitting at home. Look, they're Pettin's trying to play nickel against Kyle's front. He can't handle it. Football's a game of who goes big and who can play big and who goes small and who can't play small. You play Baltimore. Indianapolis plays Baltimore. They're going to go small. They're going to get all their fast guys on the field. Now, the question is, can you handle their power?
Who do you
think? Can you handle their power?
Michael, who do you think of the announcers does best at potentially doing what you're talking about?
It's got to be Romo.
Look, here's what drives me crazy. So we even get this clear. I don't want to know about the technique of the fucking corner. Like, I don't want to know about the outside leverage of the corner. I don't want to teach a football player. Like, I don't want to know that. Like, that to me, the fans don't want to know that. I don't want to know that they're in one-on-one out on the outside when they're really in cover three. Because I promise you, 90% of the people that are watching it think they're in man when they're really in cover three, and it depends on the route distribution. So, like, Romo tells me, I want to know about the flow of the game. Like, we were talking on that text. I want to know, look, you got to, like when I see it, when I get, you got to run it here. You got to get the clock moving. People want to know the chess match of the game. They want to know about it, and then they want to be entertained. That's why, Pat, you're good. You entertain people while you're talking about the game. They want to be entertained. Nobody wants to know about outside leverage on the corner. They can't. People want to walk into a bar and say, you know, this is what I think, and they tell their buddy, and they say, man, where'd you learn that from? Nobody gives a shit about outside leverage. Nobody cares. I care about outside leverage. You guys, we all care. Nobody, the fans don't.
Wait until some guy tonight walks into his quarantine bedroom with his wife and he goes, you should see his fucking run force going on over here.
Nobody talks about, everybody talks about setting the edge.
Setting
right?
the edge, yeah. That's, while you were saying run force.
That's the in vogue term, right? Mm-hmm. But nobody talks about what setting the edge is really. What is the run force? Like it's like saying that we're in an 8-man front. Okay, that solves all problems. Like, the 8-man front ain't penicillin. Like, it doesn't cure everything.
Michael, I did get me a little fired up earlier when you were talking about wrong arming, because I haven't heard that since college.
Yeah, and high school. That's a big high school thing too.
So this is a great story. So we're playing Kansas City. We're playing Kansas City in Kansas City. Larry Nemers is the referee. Al Davis hated Larry Nemers, and he always used to do our Kansas City game, even though he lived in Springfield, Missouri.
Ooh.
Right, and he used to motherfuck me for letting it happen. And I'm like, Mr. Davis, like, I have no choice. Like, this is Pereira's job, not mine. You know, he's letting it happen. You're like, Pereira, you call him up and you rip his ass. So, you know, I called Pereira up and press it. He says his third time doing the game. I never knew that. You know, he played the game of the old, oh, shucks, golly gee, you know. So we're playing him. We're playing. Tyler Brayton's playing it. I think it's like Christmas Eve game, and we suck. We suck completely, and we're in this game, and they're good. They got Trent Green. They got all these guys. We're gonna win the game, and we run like a counter, and their defensive end wrong arm techniques our guard, right? And we bounce it. Lamont Jordan bounces it around the corner, and we're gonna win the game. And there, Larry Nemers throws the flag. Uh-huh. So after the game, I call Prayer up. I said, like, Mike, how you can't call holding on wrong arm technique? The guy is conceding the block. He's giving himself up. He doesn't give it. You know, you understand when he wrong arms it, that means, and Mike said to me, honestly, what do you mean by wrong arm? Like, the officials don't know what's being taught So what they can't call. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
I do believe that the refs have become a little bit more knowledgeable of techniques and stuff like that. I think there is a chance that since then, but I can imagine you being absolutely furious trying to explain football to Pereira, who, by the way, is a hilarious smartass. By the way, Pereira is
Mike was the greatest guy of all. He would say, look, we screwed it up. I mean, he was tremendous, and he would take your call. And he would hold his hat in his hand. But my point is, you can't call. Like, I see holding called now on when a guy's getting double teamed and he's laying on the ground, that ain't holding. He gave himself up, you know?
Did I ever tell you, Lombardi, about me calling Dean Blandino for what Walt Anderson did to the K-balls in London?
Oh, I can only imagine.
It was awesome. I didn't think Blandino was going to answer, to be honest with you. I sent him like a DM on Twitter or whatever. And he was like, yeah, sure, give me a call, man. I'm like, very open of you here. And then I had like a little bit of a crowd around me. It was the equipment managers were there because they were a part of it. Vinatieri was there. And they're like, there's no way you're talking to Dean Blandino right now. I was like, yeah, I don't think so either. But here we go. We'll give it a call. And he answers it. And he was like a complete gentleman. And I'm like, Walt Anderson gave me ball fucking seven in London. In London, Dean, if you think about it, London's probably the only place that cares about a punter. I got cheered coming on the goddamn thing. And Walt Anderson set me up for failure out there. What is this about, Dean? Like, hey, do you guys just run roughshod on any of these rolls or whatever? And he knew that I was like kind of joking. He was like, I'm sorry that happened. I'm like, Dean, I got a $500,000 bonus on making the goddamn Pro Bowl. Like, there's lives at stake here, Dean. You know, Dean's like, I will talk to Walt. I apologize that happened. That shouldn't have happened, obviously. And I'm like, hey, Dean, you're a really good guy, man. How many of these calls do you get a day? And he was like, a lot. And I was like, all right, have a good one, Dean. Appreciate you, man.
I'll tell you, they were all good about it. I mean, they all took their beating really nicely because everybody was calling and bitching, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and of course, it was always a conspiracy. But anyway, so.
All right, let's pick tonight's game.
I'm going Niners, taking the points.
Jesus,
that feels right. Part of me wants to see the Niners have two drives and see how they are running.
I think you're right on that, Diggs. I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right on that. I don't think you should bet this game until you see who's actually on the field. I agree with that completely.
Okay, so we're not
We're not counting. I think we need to go through the first drive of the game, and if this looks like they don't have enough men on the field, and this looks like, I would say bet. But if it looks like what we think it might be, go hard on it.
Yeah, what I'm going to do, if we're going to count a pick for me tonight, is I'm going to watch probably the first two drives from each team, and then I'll bet the fucking live line, and I'll tweet it out, and I'll show proof of it, and we'll go off of that.
So you're going to – this is a live bet Thursday is what we're calling it?
For me, it is, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to be a live bet Thursday.
You have to tweet it, though. You have to – like, there has to be some sort of accountability.
I never have Twitter on my phone. Just send it in the group chat, Mike. I don't have Twitter on my – I hate Twitter. I hate Twitter, so I don't keep it on my phone.
I could just screenshot, I guess.
Yeah, you could text it to us, and we could put it out from the Hammer Don Twitter account.
Thank you.
By the way, what are you – you're a very smart guy. You should be. Twitter should be very easy for you to operate.
I know how to use Twitter. I just get annoyed with it. Enough of it. You know, like, I get annoyed with it. Like, I can't stand the experts on Twitter. I just
that's Twitter.
I'm an expert, but some of these other experts that, you know.
Hey, and gambling Twitter is potentially the worst Twitter. You could go 4-1 for one weekend, and they will fucking hammer you for that one.
Yeah. Hammer you. Yeah.
I get a lot of tweets about the losses. I'm like, that's bro, I'm goes. Like 30-something and teen right now.
Gumby, are you making a pick before?
It's live bet Thursday, dude.
No, I got one.
Really? So does this count as double? This is a question. This should be. This is democracy. We should vote on this. If he does one now.
I'm good with the live. I'll take one's fine for me. I don't need the live.
What's your pick?
There's two ways you can go on this game. It's either Mullins or Rodgers.
Well.
And I'll rest my head easy if it wins or lose with Rodgers. Because the Packers are 8-0 against the spread their last 8 following a loss. 4-1-1 against the spread their last 6 Thursday games. 5-2 against the spread this year. Favorites are 5-2 against the spread these last 7 meetings. And the Niners are 3-7 against the spread their last 10 Thursday games. And since 2008... Aaron Rodgers is the most profitable quarterback as a favorite at 88-59-3 against the spread.
Let's go.
There you go.
Listen.
-7, -6.5?
-6.5. Lock it in.
Okay.
Yeah, that counts. That's at 6.5.
It's live right now?
Yeah, we'll give you 6.5.
You know what?
You don't have to do it. You don't have to.
Listen to this one. I'm going to drop in the show here. Just get back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to do a live bet as well. I would like that to be known that I will be on the record for a live bet, which, Gumpy, I think you should also potentially be in on the live bet as well. That seems like a smarter move, but neither here nor there. I'm going to go listen to this one. Green Bay Packers, money line, minus 370. Give it to me.
Smart.
Thank you.
Can't beat that. Can't beat that. That's a good, you know, I mean, you know, bet with your head, not over it.
Smart.
Hey.
Smart.
You Italians have great lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Only bet as much as you're willing to win. Only bet as much.
Only bet as much. All right. We do this tomorrow, gentlemen.
We do.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow, Michael. See Thank you, Mike. You so much.
See you, buddy.
Hey, high level today.
What's that?
High level conversation today.
Yeah, real smart shit today.
Real smart shit today.
Real, real. We got better at football today. We won today. They say you're either getting better or worse. Today, we got better.
I didn't want to do tonight what we did on Monday.
Are people going to say that we potentially copped out?
No.
I made a real bet, by the way.
I think they'll respect it.
I'll take the bullet on this one, boys.
Oh, what a hero.
Fucking hero.
What a hero.
But, you know, Monday night, Tampa Bay, obvious. Tonight, Packers seems obvious. Sometimes the obvious this part of the season.
Love
the
bounce
have back. Kind of figured it out a little
love
bit.
Love a bounce back spot for the Packers.
Yeah, and everything. I've already bet, by the way, on FanDuel. Aaron Rodgers. I've already bet it. This morning while
I already
bet it. I've already max bet it because it's Aaron Rodgers. But for this record coming off the weekend I had, I think the right move, if you want to use your brains a little bit, is to kind of see how it's starting, how going, and then make the bet. But Green Bay Packers money line, I'm living there. Connor just walked in.
My only thing is make sure. I just want to make sure the Packers can stop the run tonight. That's all I want to see.
Just one time.
There is one other stat that might shock you. After giving up 150 yards or more rushing in the previous game, Packers are 19-7-1 against the spread their last 27 games. So they do bounce back when they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah, but can you go back to how many times they face off against the guy who's like the running
that's a good question.
Scheme guru?
I mean, I said he could polish a turd.
Yeah, he really can. What were you going to say, Connor?
I got a winning margin bet here because I am also nervous about the spread, and I want to take the Packers money line. But with that being said, it's minus 300. It's too much. Packers to win by 1 to 13 points is plus 135. It's a tasty little treat.
Oh, shit. Really?
I don't know if they're going to blow them out. And then the other one I like a lot.
Hold on. Where's that at? That's on
FanDuel? That's under, in the FanDuel. It's under winning margin four-way. So that's Packers between 1 to 13 points. And then I love each team to score one touchdown and one field goal in each half, plus 1,700. I mean, that is a tasty little cake. I'd say treat, but it is a cake, gentlemen.
Stick with me here.
What the fuck, dude?
Go on now.
I'm going through this thing. Green Bay Packers 1 to 6.
Oh, yeah, so that's go to the four-way winning margin.
I'll say.
Yeah, winning margin four-way, it will say.
Oh, there it is. Oh, my God. I didn't know these existed.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a max I can bet on that?
Go fucking go for it, Bob.
Bet as much as you're willing to win, you know?
Well said, Connor.
Hey, Connor, good bet there, Bob.
Let's go tonight, boys. Packers all day.
All right, we'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow with all of our picks. We will be making strong picks tomorrow.
Strong ones.
Some ones that we believe in wholeheartedly.
It's a good slate. It's a good slate.
We'll talk about all those games we didn't talk about there on the side.
I'm probably going to sleep.
What do you mean?
I haven't really slept much here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I think tomorrow after tonight, I'm going to take some sleepy sauce tonight.
Oh, I like that. I love a good sleepy sauce.
And normally the sleepy sauce, whichever, CBDPM is what I use, but people use other stuff. The dreams are normally pretty vivid.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of hammers are going to be swinging in those dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Gumpy.
1,000%.
Yeah, I think a lot of hammers are going to be swinging on some winners tonight. And I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll write them all down. Let's go and get it this
week. Let's go get it tomorrow. See you tomorrow. At Hammer Down on Instagram and Twitter. Hammer.
Don.
Don.
Don. Don. Don. Don.